Is it going?
It's going.
I don't think so, because I don't see no numbers.
It's a number right there.
No, but there it is. Welcome, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your comic book podcast, pop culture, and all that business.
Comic book pop culture podcast.
Whatever.
And where are we at?
We in the cave.
What city are we in?
Oh, we're in Toronto. I am your hostess with the mostest, Lady J, and her partner in crime,
Eric Anthony.
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the new beginning. This is episode 151. We've done 150 episodes.
No.
That, Jay. Yes.
No.
So this is 151. It's been a minute since we've been in the cave together. Getting down to business. That sounds so so wrong, saying it. But it's been a while since
and
we recorded.
Oh, so right.
It's been a minute. Life has been.
Life's been lifing.
Life's been life. I like that. Life has been lifing.
Yeah.
And podcasting has taken a touch of a backseat. But movie season is in full swing. Netflix season is in full swing. We've got things to talk about. We've got trailers. We've got movies. We've got television shows. You're mocking me as I say it. So let's get down to business. Staff J, how you been?
Busy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What have you been up to? What have we been up to? I guess it's us.
I've been watching stuffs.
Okay.
Yeah. I recommend to everyone and anyone to watch The Afterlife. It came out on Friday, March 8th. Mm-hmm. Ricky Gervais, I think he's brilliant. I loved it. It's heavy content, but I couldn't help but laugh out loud to everything that was happening and say, I felt good watching it. I thought it was fantastic.
It was pretty heavy, but it was extremely funny.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I'm such a fan.
I heard recently, in regards to what you're saying, something interesting, that the funniest people aren't always the happiest. So a lot of times when you know, they find humor in the parts of life that maybe is the pain that they're going through. So when you see it in something like this, where to give a synopsis, this is Ricky Gervais plays Tony, a guy who has lost his wife of 25 years. So he's in a funk and he's trying to maintain and go through life, trying to figure things out. But through it all, it's extremely funny in how he interacts with people and how he deals with his coworkers. And I like that it's rather
how his dog gives him purpose to keep going.
Absolutely. That's
so
your favorite part,
all
isn't
you
it?
Peoples that say, what's with the animal? What's what you know, like, how do you just, like, you know, how do you love a dog? Like,
a
how
dog.
Is that, like, your thing? Like, you know what? Watch this and you'll know what it is. You know what I mean?
Say dog again.
No.
Say water.
No.
You sound like you're inside of a bottle, by the way that you're speaking.
I may be. But I'm just saying, and Ricky Gervais on a serious, on a real level, he's a real advocate for animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that also came off. Like, of course, anyone in their art, I think there's a hidden agenda, like, what I'm thinking, I'm going to put it out there.
Sure.
And fine, you know what, whatevs, it's cool.
Yeah.
But I do like that he puts out there that, you know, animals make a difference in people. That's why they call dogs man's best friend.
100%.
There's a freaking reason for that.
No, you're right.
I think it was lovely.
The companionship is beneficial for both.
I thought this show and what it did, it was as heavy as it was.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but laugh out loud so many times.
And at appropriate moments.
Like grabbing my belly laughing. It was so good.
Rewind worthy laugh again type of moment.
So good. Yeah, I recommend everybody watch it.
Everybody? Yeah. I don't know if everybody can handle watching it.
Well, it does pull to your heartstrings if you have a heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
it is very blue collar.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there if you're sensitive to language, be warned, but it's funny.
I love the word cunt. I don't care.
Daph.
I'm just saying, I don't mind it. I mean, I know it's supposedly.
All right, we don't say that on this show.
No, but supposedly it's supposed to be what? Like what? Like rude to women?
Extremely. Some people view it worse than the F word.
Maybe so. I don't see it that way. I think the F word could probably be a little bit like, you know. Most I don't mind. You know what it is? I find it funny. I don't mind.
I'm laughing at I'm you just right saying, now.
I don't mind. You know what?
What if I called you that?
You know what? If it was well deserved, I have to take it.
But you don't like me calling you the B word.
You know what?
The C word is worse.
You know what? Sometimes I deserve it. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not going to lie. And I think there are people out there that do.
I wasn't ready for that.
They do deserve that. But it's only based on your character. Like if that's who you, if that's how you're being, you know what?
Wow.
I don't necessarily find, obviously the F word is like more like.
No.
For me personally, it sounds more aggressive. It sounds like, you know, whatever. But like that word, I know women particularly perhaps take that to heart and is more sensitive. Like they're more sensitive to that. I find it funny. I find it so hilarious. The word itself is funny.
Okay.
So I don't find it particularly.
Do you want to give it one more laugh? It's very offensive to people.
PSA, I'm not saying you go around
calling people. Okay, that's enough.
But I'm just saying.
Oh, boy.
Look, I am one of those that's a realist, okay? I think there are people that are like that.
Why is it between the two of us? I'm more of the one who's like a feminist between the two of us.
And sometimes people are deserving of it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There are, I think, some people, but based on who you are and how you act, some things are well deserved. That, to me personally, I'm not talking on behalf of women.
All right.
I'm not saying that.
It's your opinion.
You know,
hey, you have the right to feel how you feel.
For me, I'm more like, you know what? I find it funny. I don't take offense to it. It doesn't bug me the way it
feel like I need to say a PSA of like the views of Daft J are not the views of the Cave of Solitude, but that would be wrong because you're the co-host and it's just like
that's just me. That's right. Just me. But don't come after Eric Anthony for my views. I mean, like I said, there's enough there. I know there's a bunch of stuffs out there, but right. That personally for me, if you're being referred to it as it, it's probably you need to check yourself. There's some truth to everything.
I think there's always a nicer way to approach somebody.
Whatever. You know what?
I would never.
I think the B word is more offensive.
Wow.
To me, I'm not saying.
I know the.
To me, it's funny. It's just funny. I don't know. Whatever.
We're supposed to be talking about Captain Marvel instead. We were talking about this.
Can y'all just check out the afterlife? It's so funny. And you know what? Even if you don't agree with the ideals of Ricky Gervais or the, you know what? Just having just
there's a lot of heart to it.
Witnessing open and honest conversation and feeling, there's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I welcome that kind of dialogue. And I really liked it. As heavy and as deep as it was, very much so. But it just, it brought you to a level where, you know, it just felt very humane.
Human.
Whatever.
You want to laugh one more time?
And there was a dog in it, and she's very lovely. Mm. I was a fan. And he's very... Did I say this already? He's all about, yes, like, human... Yeah, did. Oh, it's, okay, fine.
Yeah. It's fine. You want to get out of your system one more time?
No, I'm not going to repeat myself. It's fine.
All right. Okay. Don't say it.
Fine.
We're good. We're good.
I'm not saying it.
Let's talk about some trailers.
Can you tell me why it's so bad?
To be honest,
is there something I'm missing?
I think it's just
people like me who don't feel that aggression towards that word. What is it?
I think it's just. I think it's considered, from my understanding and hearing people's reaction to it, it's like the most vulgar of vulgar.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story. I was in the 7th grade.
Okay.
And this guy, his name is Joshua.
You don't gotta repeat the word.
He said to me, because he flipped the bird, right?
Okay.
Not to anyone particular, but he just said,
yeah,
he flipped the bird, right? He's like, why is what? It's just a finger. What is right. it? What's right. the problem here?
Right.
And I was like, well, that's kind of universal language. Like, everybody knows what that means. He's like, yeah, but it's just a phalange. Like, it's not anything.
Phalange.
It's not anything, like, for me personally, it doesn't.
Should I look it up? Should I look
denote
up? Yeah.
anything for reals.
Okay.
So, I say that to say this. Again, I've heard worse things for me personally. To me, it just sounds funny. Mm. And it's just like that. You know when there's like a curse word where like the kuh, it just feels good. Mm. And I think that's what it is. It's just a word that feels good. But I don't really know. Like, is it really something? I have no idea.
It's considered to be disparaging and obscene. Term for a woman, an offensive way to refer to a woman in the United States. It's a contemptible person.
So it's offensive to Americans or North Americans, but not offensive to people on the other side of the world. You know what I'm saying?
So I think it's because, I mean, it's the equivalent of calling someone a dick, I guess you could say.
But I call you a dick all the time. Who gives a shit? Who cares?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Who cares?
I was not prepared
for me.
Okay.
For me, I know some people will take it to heart and some people are very sensitive to that. But don't grab my hands. I know what's going on here. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that just because it doesn't bother me, it shouldn't bother the neighbor. But I think after years of like, what do you mean? It's just a finger. It's not just a finger. It denotes and it's a universal thing. Like, everybody knows what that means. But like, I think I know where he was coming from. What did I say his name was?
Josh.
Yeah, Joshua. It's actually Joshua. And so I'm just like, you know what? To me personally, and I'm not saying go ahead and go call people.
Call your mother that?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying that for me. And you know what? It just sounds hilarious. I love it.
Especially from a British person. I think.
You know what? I think that's what it is. Like, some things just sound a little bit more.
Put it. You know what it is? Here's the best way to put it.
Let me tell you something quick.
All right.
I went to a dental conference.
Okay.
And this. He was denoting, like, you know, sometimes even people who have an accent, perhaps speaking on a subject that is probably uncomfortable for people, let's say finances, you know, it comes off a little bit more sweeter as opposed to, oh, you owe us something. He was talking about his Irish receptionist. He's like, oh, we have a wee little fee, like a wee balance. Like, it just is a little sweeter. It's a little more welcoming as opposed to in whatever native or mother tongue, it could come off aggressive.
Right.
And it's just a little bit more forgiving when you hear it, when your ear goes to something foreign.
Right.
And maybe that's why, for me, I'm just like, that's not this.
I think the use of that word in certain parts of the world, the C word,
yes,
is on the level, when you call a woman that, it's on the level of using the N word.
And I get that.
Okay. So I just so you.
I find it hilarious.
Which one? Both?
The C word. Oh.
Let's talk about.
I laugh out another, loud when I hear it. I don't get offended.
Okay,
by
let's
it.
Talk about another.
I'm just saying.
Move on to other C words.
Is that a bad thing? I don't care. I don't care.
So loud in the mic, it hurts.
Go.
Another C word that we're gonna get to today.
Captain Marvel.
No. Let's talk about Critters. Oh, the new binge, the trailer that was sent.
Do all this?
No.
Again? Am I too much?
No, you're not too much. This is good. Let's talk about the new binge Critters trailer. Martin Slam Duncan, friend of the show, shout out to Fastball Special, sent us on Facebook footage, trailers of the latest Critters edition.
Hey, hey, hey.
Now, you are a Critters aficionado, probably one of the few on the planet Earth. How did you feel when you saw that Critters is getting rebooted?
I was excited.
Okay.
I was excited initially. Next question.
So for those who have not heard us wax rhapsodic about one of the worst movies of all time, Critters.
Hey man.
It's a B movie. Hey man. It's a comedic horror B movie that Daft J watched as a kid of these little furball creatures from outer space. Did you like the trailer? What you saw?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely?
Absolutely not.
Okay. None of it?
You know what? No.
Why?
I was a little bit disappointed.
Okay.
It's like they were making a mockery of this fine art. Of what I grew up with.
I really don't think they were doing that. I think they were treating
it as stupid as it was. Excuse me, one of the critters was going down like a Mission Impossible Tom Cruise. He had the earpiece and the mic and everything, and he's being lowered with glasses. I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? Okay, let me tell you something. From Soups to Nuts, real quick. I know that Critters is a B-rate movie. I get it. I do get it. I love it. I can't feel my fingers.
For the record, Daft J is not on one.
But listen to me.
She's just very tired.
But listen to me. I know that Critters had its thing. Even Raphael had his feelings about it. I get it. Okay? However, I feel like they were making more of a mockery of the movie than it was. Like, the first couple of Critters, it was a horror movie. It was like a scary, like, oh my gosh! But this, it was almost like it was too silly. It was making it to be what everybody, or what the majority of people thought it was, a joke. And it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
It's really bad.
No, it's supposed to be like, wow, like, oh my goodness, like around the corner.
I think you feel that way because you watched it as a kid, so you took it serious. So your experience of it is from the mind of a 6-7-year-old watching that, as opposed to me watching it as an adult and being this is garbage. No, but
you can't hate on what technology was in the 70s. I'm not hating. Back then,
I didn't.
It seems like they're recreating the whole like Critters
franchise.
No, like the big ball.
Yeah.
The big ball thing.
Yeah, when they all form into one big, huge critter.
No, I'm not saying it was cinematic, fantastical, like real fear. But it did kind of, like, it made you, like, whoa! Like, it made you cover your eyes a bit. And I felt like there was just this trailer today, it was a bit of a mockery on what I thought was...
I think it perfectly captured exactly what you remember. Man, like, yes, because these were animals that swore in subtitles. Okay, it's ridiculous. The part that I wasn't prepared for was that the scene in the trailer of the dogs that were all hurt.
Hey man,
that was shocking.
That I was upset about.
Yes,
and you should have known that.
As soon as I saw it, I said, "Don't watch it! Don't watch it! Don't watch it!" It was too late. You had seen it. I apologize. I'm sure no real animals were hurt because critters aren't real. So none of that happened. And are you going to watch it? Is my next question.
You know what? I want to say yes, but internally, like I said, I feel like they were making a mockery of the of the trilogy here, of the franchise,
yeah.
Of the franchise of this. And I thought it was a bit bogus. I didn't like
it. It's a television series.
I don't care. I'm just telling you that I wasn't impressed that they took something from my childhood and thought that they could just stomp all over it.
I'm pretty sure
you're asking me, I'm telling you. Are you going to be arguing with my thoughts in my brain? Because I know what I'm saying.
Are you sure?
Yes. I may not be able to feel my fingers, but I know what my mind is saying.
All right.
And I thought it was a little bit like they were taking shot, like the movie.
Subliminal shots.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay. All right.
It's not a masterpiece. I know that. But I also know that when you know, the lights are out because the cables are bitten and eaten and destroyed, and there's no communication to the outside world. And you know what I mean? Like, you're fending for yourself. You're trying to make it through the night because these things are eating through the walls to get to you. I get it. But the chase factor, it didn't seem real to me. It just seemed like they were just making fun of it. Like, what is he doing coming down like Tom Cruise? You know what I mean? Like, it was just ridiculous.
You have to wait and see. Would you, if Martin Slam Duncan invited you over for an evening of critter binging, would you do it?
120%.
You spit all over me. The percent, the P and the T, I'm wet.
Okay, can you, did something recently.
Yes, I went solo and watched Captain Marvel, the latest addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The first female-led Marvel movie of a superhero that is a female character. Which,
how'd you feel about that?
About the movie or the fact that it was Captain Marvel?
Both.
I think it's a good choice to. It's a pretty prominent character in the Marvel universe, like comic book universe. Thank you. Daphne just gave me a kiss on the show. I think that's the first time. It's a prominent character in the Marvel universe that I think it opens the doorway to explore a whole other sector of Marvel, which is she's the right character to do it. You know, going into this, I was hearing. Sorry, we're gonna do a Aquaman type of back and forth because you didn't watch this with me.
I did not want to. I didn't care to see.
So let's talk about that.
Can I just say that out loud?
Yes, yes. Let's talk about that first.
I did not care to see this film.
Why this one out of all of them? Because you went with me to watch every single Marvel movie. Why did you decide for the first time that they were going to do a female-led character? Did you not want to see? You were like adamant, like it was Aquaman again, or a DC movie at that.
Well, you just answered your own question. It to me, it came off a little bit like it looked weak to me.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were trying to force it to me.
Okay,
you know what I mean? I just wasn't feeling it. And you know what? Maybe because I'm not that familiar with the Miss Marvel character. I didn't feel as committed to go and see this person. Mm. You know who I would have gone to see it for? I would have wanted to see Nick Fury.
Yes.
He's familiar.
Right.
He's one I know.
Yes.
I like his flow. I like his style. Mm-hmm. I like, you know what I'm saying? This person I have no real relationship with. And I wasn't intrigued by the trailers that they showed to be like, you know, I'm going to give this a chance. I was really disconnected by this character, this movie. And so I was kind of like, meh, I'm not down for it.
Are you feeling a sense of superhero movie fatigue? Are you kind of like exhausted by it? Like, okay, for instance, will you go and watch Shazam with me?
No.
Okay.
I feel like I'm invested in the characters that people have been feeding me over the past 13 years, 15 years, let's say. But all the new people, I'm just kind of like, yo, I'm already trying to keep up with what's been happening. I don't know if I'm down with the new stuff. You know what I'm saying? And the Shazam character so far,
because
I know he's a kid, but to see an adult play a kid, like very immature, kind of like a, what's it called, that movie? Big.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I love Big. I thought it was a great movie, but it was like seeing an adult play that character of a child, that immature, not really knowing what's going on kind of thing. I just don't have the patience for it.
Okay.
That's not to say I won't watch it in a different.
You just won't rush to the theater.
No.
What if I begged you to come with me?
You have friends. It's fine. You have Martin Slam Duncan. You have, no, not even the Shane Heron. He won't even go watch it.
He doesn't watch any of them. I might have to go with Adam Chapman.
Yeah, there you go. See? You have people.
But part of this podcast is us going to watch these movies and coming back and reviewing them. Now I'm reviewing them by myself. I mean, you're still doing the review with me.
My time is valuable. I can't.
Well, you're sitting here watching. Are you sitting here laughing at people saying the C word? Get out of here.
I love this. I don't want. Whatever. We've been there, down that road, done that. But yeah, like I just. It didn't appeal for me personally.
Okay.
But it's not about me. This is a review of your experience. So, first of all, what drew you to this? And that's the other thing. Mm. Why am I going to see these movies? Because society is telling me to go... Because society is telling me to go see it? Is it because if I don't see this, I'm not going to understand what's going to happen in the next Marvel movie? Like, there's so much pressure coming from all angles where it's like... Why am I doing this? Is it because I want to invest in this person? Or is it because if I don't do it now, I won't know what's happening later? And by the way, there's two of you right now.
You see two of me?
Yeah, there's that. And maybe a little fuzzy one right
over
here.
Wow. And you're not even on any sort of...
Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm completely coherent to what's happening.
Okay. Yeah. How many fingers am I holding up?
Two.
Oh, good. Uh-huh. So there's two fingers, but you can see two of me.
Yes.
Wow.
But okay, do you know what I mean? On a real level, like I feel like, I think from a business standpoint, it's very clever for Marvel to do this because it's like as if they're saying. If you want to be in the know to what's happened or what's happening, you need to be in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Strategically, business-wise, I think it's brilliant.
And it came,
I just don't have that kind of time or patience.
And speaking of being smart, it also came out on the weekend of International Women's Day.
Hey, I didn't even put that together.
Right? So there's a lot of...
This is the first movie, Marvel movie. Like woman movie, right?
Lead characters, the titular character is a woman. Mm-hmm. So getting back to your initial question about what drew me to it, is that what you asked me?
I have no idea. Okay. I've been talking, just I've just been going on a tangent.
So Ms. Marvel is or Captain Marvel, pardon me. Captain Marvel, it's interesting you bring up.
So wait, hold the phone.
Right.
Captain Marvel and Ms. Marvel, two different people.
Okay, yeah, let's get into that. So, long story, I'm going to try to keep it short, but the original Captain Marvel in comics...
Is a guy.
Is Shazam.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Right, this is might confuse people, but I want to do a little bit of history, because it's interesting over the fact that Captain Marvel... is a Marvel movie, which it, you know, only makes sense. But at the same time, a month later, you've got the Shazam movie coming out. Shazam is the wizard who bestows Billy Batson, the main character in that movie or that comic book, with the powers of Captain Marvel. Now, that was a character who was originally from a comic book imprint or publisher named Fawcett Comics. And they were sued back in, I think, the 40s or 50s by DC Comics because Captain Marvel, they were claiming, was a ripoff of Superman. The power structure was similar, the, you know, secret identity, all of those things. It was very derivative of Superman. So Fawcett Comics went out of business being sued by DC. DC ended up buying up the intellectual property of Shazam, aka Captain Marvel. Now, when Marvel Comics became the success and... Daph, this isn't even funny. It's so obvious that you left the room. I could hear the faucet going and everything through the microphone. Are you back?
No.
It's funny because I was talking about Fawcett Comics. I can hear the faucet over there.
No, wait. Why are you baiting up?
Because I'm hearing it in the thing. Okay, this is a very raw, raw and uncut episode.
This is an exclusive.
All right. So, did you hear anything I said while you had left the room?
I heard tidbits.
Okay, so I'm going to just give you the rundown.
You're going to kill them.
That's fine. Captain Marvel is a DC character, right? Shazam is the wizard that gives Billy Batson power to be Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Later on, Marvel Comics, obviously they couldn't name their own character Captain Marvel.
They couldn't
flat out name another character that DC had, right? So the character's name from the planet he was from was Mar-Vell. That was his first and last name, Mar-Vell. When he came down to Earth, it was a male character. He was Captain Mar-Vell. So to, you know, separate, distinguish. Okay. Now the female character who is in the movie of Captain Marvel, because they have now the rights to use that name, and DC's going with Shazam. There's no more Captain Marvel in DC. So just easy, no more confusion. Carol Danvers was a character featured in the Captain Marvel comic who also was bestowed by a very similar accident to what you see in this movie.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it, but for those listening who are listening to a review for it, was bestowed with the powers and the genetics of this alien planet. Kree planet. So for you, you didn't see the movie. When I say the Kree,
right,
you might not know what that means. But you did see Guardians of the Galaxy.
There were the blue people.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. So
someone's paying it. Someone went to school that day.
There you go. So the Kree. Remember Ronan?
Yeah.
The bad guy in the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Right, with the big hammer.
Yes.
Okay. So he's Kree, but there's different levels of Kree culture. There's those that are blue. There's those who look just like me and you, and they're it's like a caste system. So that's a long and short of how to explain to you who doesn't know what's the history of Captain Marvel. She's a pilot for the Air Force, kind of like a Green Lantern, the way Hal Jordan was. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like that equivalent, and has been bestowed with an alien DNA, as well as the powers that the original male Captain Mar-Vell had. It's a legacy character, so meaning that it gets kind of passed down over time. It's kind of like there's the Flash, Barry Allen, and then Flash's nephew. So the moniker of Captain Marvel gets passed down. And then me and you on this podcast a few years ago, we reviewed Miss Marvel. Kamala Khan, right?
Yes, yes.
So she's named after Captain Marvel. That's her favorite hero in the Marvel universe, as the fictional universe. The Kamala Khan, she idolizes Carol Danvers, who is Captain Marvel.
Yes.
And she takes on the name Miss Marvel because once upon a time, to differentiate Captain Marvel, she was known as Miss Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So are you confused? Are you lost?
I got you.
All right. So this movie now is focusing strictly on Carol Danvers and her story, her origin story, which is done in it's almost like the first prequel of all the Marvel movies, because every Marvel movie, maybe Captain America was kind of like a prequel. Mm-hmm. Here's a story that happened before. And so but this one is strictly like, we know all of this has happened. The Avengers have happened. Civil War, we're at Infinity War has occurred. So this movie is taking place in 1995.
Oh, yeah. Is that what they said?
Yes, this movie takes place in 1995. So spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. We're going to get into some spoilers. If you don't want to know, don't listen further. But
like stinky milk.
So this movie takes place in the 90s, which is kind of cool. Because it has those nostalgic bits, music.
Do they show a lot of stuff? Do they drop, like, I don't know, a beeper?
Yes.
Or, like,
yes,
the cell phones with the antenna? Or,
there's a Blockbuster Video.
No!
When she lands on Earth, she lands in Blockbuster Video. And you can see, like, posters for True Lies and Last Action Hero.
Yo!
Yeah!
That's a film.
That's the Critters of Arnold Schwarzenegger's filmography, if that's the word. So it's 1995 when she lands. So you see Samuel L. Jackson with no eye patch and hair, and Phil Coulson is young.
Mm.
So you see all of these characters that
you're
familiar with.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Does it look altered? Does it look too fake?
No. No, it doesn't. They did a good job. Yeah, they did a really good job of that. So, the plot is that she's part of a Kree armada who's on a mission to extract one of their secret agents. So, in Marvel Comics, there's these two races. I'm going to get on a little tangent here just so you understand what's happening.
Take it away.
There's the Krees and the Skrulls. They're two alien races that are famously always at war with each other. So the Kree are always, they're trying to advance their culture, expand it, you know, spread it out to different planets. And the Skrulls is one of the people that they've are trying to eliminate. So they're at odds with each other in this movie. So they, at the beginning, it starts with Carol Danvers, who's known as Vers. That's how they refer to her. Her Kree name is Vers. She is in a armada with Yon Rogg, who's played by Jude Law. Are you looking at me? You're not listening to me.
I am.
Yon Rogg.
Jude Law's in it.
Jude Law's in it.
He's also in that Fantastic Beasts movie.
Is he? Mm. I didn't realize that.
Whatever. Some Harry Potter crap.
Spinoff. So they are extracting one of their associates who is on a mission to infiltrate the Skrulls, right? On a retcon mission.
All right. There's a versus. There's an enemy versus somebody else.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So within that, things go wrong, things go awry, and as she's escaping, the Skrulls capture her, and she can't remember her history as a Earth person because her mind has been wiped. She has little flashes of memories, and she's now been raised as a Kree warrior, not remembering her history on Earth as a fighter pilot and all of that.
As a human, really?
Right?
Okay.
And so when she's captured by the Skrulls amidst this battle.
I'm sorry, the Skrulls are the bad guy?
The Skrulls are their opponents, their opposers. I wouldn't say good or bad guy. It's kind of ambiguous. Yes.
A difference of opinion.
Right.
Okay.
So as they have her captured, they're kind of probing her mind to extract information that they're looking for. And they find it in there. But as they're doing it, they realize, oh, this is where she's from. This is a little bit of her history. These are the key elements of her life. So she escapes there. She escapes them because she's got these, you know, her Kree powers that have been bestowed on her from this accident that she doesn't remember happening. You following?
I'm trying.
Okay. She escapes, mm-hmm. flies into a pod, crash lands on Earth.
Okay.
Not realizing that
this
is actually...
But she is an Earthling.
Yes, she is an Earthling.
She knows this.
She doesn't know.
Oh.
She doesn't know. So while she gets approached by S.H.I.E.L.D. because she lands in a blockbuster movie, clearly she's not from here, or she's been... Something is very suspicious about her. S.H.I.E.L.D. gets called in, and S.H.I.E.L.D. has not yet encountered any sort of extraterrestrial...
And that's where Nick Fury comes in.
Nick Fury and Coulson come in. So the rest of the movie is basically her and Nick Fury figuring out all of the ins and outs...
What's going on.
Mm. And as they are putting the pieces together of what the Skrulls were after... And what the Kree, what she assumes are her people.
Right.
What they...
Did the Kree look like her?
Yeah, there's different caste systems. So some of them are blue.
Okay.
Like, Ronin.
Yes.
And then some of them just look like her.
Okay.
And so there's different levels of the Kree. But they all bleed blue. With their blood is a different color. That's how she's able to differentiate who's what. Now, the Skrulls, the key thing about the Skrulls... is that they're shapeshifters.
Ooh. So, like Martian Manhunter?
Like Martian Manhunter. Or think about T-1000. They can impersonate people.
He's a bad guy.
Yes. Mm. So that's part of the fun of the movie is trying to distinguish, is that really Phil Coulson?
Is
that really, yeah. You know? So that is their ability. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the suspense as you're going through the film. Is that
so? Did you feel that suspense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's you feel it, but you also are expecting it because you know that the Skrulls are main characters in the movie, so you know it's going to be happening a lot.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So, as her and Nick are putting the pieces together, she realizes that the whole plot that this has, where this is centered on, I was here at the beginning of this because there was a spoilers. Remember we were watching the View the other day, and you saw Annette Bening and Brie Larson being interviewed, and Annette Bening was she was a associate of Captain Marvel when she was a test pilot. She was a scientist that she was working for.
Okay.
Annette Bening.
Was she the bad guy?
Here's the thing. She is the bad guy in the sense that...
She's a manipulator.
No, she's not a manipulator. Okay. Listen, spoilers. So the Kree have this AI that is their leader, artificial intelligence, called the Supreme Intelligence. And within the movie, they say everybody sees the Supreme Intelligence in the form of a person of their memory or someone that they highly respect. Everyone sees the Supreme Intelligence differently. So Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, when she encounters a Supreme Intelligence, she sees Annette Bening, who in this film, her real identity when she was on Earth was actually Mar-Vell. So they switched the gender of the comic book character who was a man, they made it a female. In this movie. Does that confuse you?
Of course it does.
Okay.
Of course it does.
So just imagine them if Spider-Man Peter Parker was changed to a female character.
A chick.
Okay. Yeah. And it works. It works fine because in the Marvel comic book universe, Mar-Vell was actually killed. He died of cancer in the comic books. It was like a really well-respected story because this was this powerful alien creature that even he succumbed to the cancer. So it's something that universally all creatures succumb to. It was a very poignant story filled with a lot of heart. And one of the key things to know about Captain Marvel, why this is important for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Am I confusing you?
Of course you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the comics... Captain Mar-Vell, the male version, the first version of this character, his main enemy was Thanos.
That's everyone's enemy.
Right.
Right.
So now that you're now that everything has gone down with Thanos,
yes.
It's a perfect time to introduce this element of the Marvel universe through the lens of Captain Marvel because they need to get back and fight Thanos.
Okay.
Right. So Annette Bening's character appears as a Supreme Intelligence.
She's married to Warren Beatty.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't his fault at the Oscars.
Oh, okay. This is a real tangent.
I just wanted to say that. I don't think it was his fault.
You're really cute right now.
He's so old.
He's old. He's Dick Tracy.
I know.
Yeah.
Tracy. go ahead.
I forgot where I was. So Annette Bening, it's a red, what's the word now? I can't
remember. Red herring.
Hey, there you go.
Guess who's on top of it?
Yes, that she's listed as the Supreme Intelligence, but she's actually a heroic character.
But you told me the Supreme Intelligence person is supposed to be somebody else.
It's more like a...
The way they portrayed her wasn't exactly...
Do you know the best way for me to describe, for you to visualize what the Supreme Intelligence looks like?
Like the bad guy in the bad Green Lantern.
Okay.
Like that big yellow cloud, no?
Kind of. Think more like, remember Power Rangers? Remember Zordon?
Yeah.
He was like in a...
Yeah.
Kind of bubble, kind of like that. Uh-huh. That's kind of the Supreme Intelligence.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I wasn't that off.
You weren't that off, no. So it kind of looks like that. But you don't see it in the movie.
Okay.
In the movie, you just see it as Annette Bening. Because that's the psychosis or the way Brie Olsen's character, Captain Marvel, sees it.
Sees her, okay.
Because she highly respected her on Earth. So you... Throughout the movie, I'm not going to get into every little ins and outs of it because I've spoiled enough.
That's okay.
It's uncovering the plot of what brought Mar-Vell to Earth, how it affected Carol Danvers' life for her to now be part of the Kree race, mm-hmm. and what the relationship really is between the Skrulls and the people that she has been working with all of this time.
Did you like it?
That's just really what you want to know.
Well, I'm just saying. It's nice of the synopsis and all that, but I want to know, what was your experience about it?
It was a good pace. It had good nostalgia in it with 90s music. It had humor. It had a couple of really good... it opens the door for a lot of other characters to become something. Because...
Other characters like whom?
So, within the comics, like I said to you before, the moniker of Ms. Mar-Vell gets passed down, right? So... One of the characters who became Ms. Mar-Vell was someone named Monica Rambeau, who was a female...
Rambeau or Rambo?
Rambeau. So Rambeau. Like kind of French sounding. Monica Rambeau, okay. Not Rambo.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. And she was she was an African-American from New Orleans who was part of the Avengers in the 80s and was known as Captain Mar-Vell. So... Carol Danvers' best friend is Mary Rambeau. They were like pilots together, like Goose and...
is that supposed to be her granddaughter?
So it's her daughter is Monica. Mm. So because this takes place in 95, when we get back to the current timeline, it's possible that Monica Rambeau, the little girl that you see in this movie, will be, the next Ms. Mar-Vell, potentially.
Oh, really?
Like, there's...
Like a Miles Morales?
Kind of.
Okay.
So there's those little nods to Mar-Vell history that they put in there that are really satisfying if
you... Do you find that Mar-Vell's trying to be very inclusive with, like, what's the word now?
Diversity?
Yeah.
Very much so, but more in a natural way without it being so obvious, mm-hmm. I feel. They do.
Because the comics... And, there was that inclusion already in the comics.
Yeah. Right?
So this isn't in anything new because of the movement or because of the times we're in.
No. Mar-Vell was on that from before.
Right.
They sometimes did it.
And do you think that Stan Lee had something to do with that?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I do think he had something to do with that. So did Jack Kirby. I think sometimes when you read back, there's some references, some racial references that are, nowadays politically incorrect that they would use freely that were common back then. Mm-hmm. But there was always a lot of diversity in Mar-Vell comics, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. You think of...
more so than in DC, you think?
I wouldn't know about more so because a lot of the people who worked for both companies bounced back and forth.
You look fine in that tank top.
Your tangents for this episode are fantastic.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
But no. In comparison to DC and Mar-Vell, which one do you think had a little bit more diversity?
I think it's easy to say that Mar-Vell was quicker on the diversity aspect.
Okay.
I think. You look at, Tony Stark has Brody as his best friend. Captain America is partnered up with Falcon. Luke Cage... Black Panther, mm-hmm. exactly. And this was happening in the 60s and 70s. Not to say that DC didn't, diversify.
Was it inclusive that way?
No, but they weren't quite as on the ball, I think, as quick as Mar-Vell was.
Right.
I could be wrong. That's just my take from my perception. Mm-hmm. So...
Or even the fact that, like, the role of women. Do you find that DC and Mar-Vell have a little bit of a... I mean, we know there's Wonder Woman. And
I think maybe, my opinion, of course, maybe the aspect of strong female characters, I think maybe DC has a little more of that at first.
Okay.
Because Wonder Woman's from the 40s.
Okay.
And the character of Wonder Woman... was very much like...
But it was still a little bit more like Dominatrix type of...
I think that's the underlying thing that William Marston,
the guy that did the invention of the lie detector, was very much into like the
agenda. S&M.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had like an agenda for sure in his own personal views. So because of his,
although he did, I guess, have a high respect for women.
Very much, very much. Yes, he thought that. So that's why I say DC kind of has that sort of higher view of women a little bit earlier, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But they do have a lot of the damsel in distress, like the Lois Lane for many years. It was like, oh, but then Superman.
They empowered Lois. They like did. She was they did. Very mouthy, and she was very like feisty and sassy. And
yes,
she was the one to get the top story because right. she would go above and beyond
right.
what a typical little
yes
would, you know
yes you're right. So I think they're within comic books on both sides of the street. There was a lot of steps towards diversity being shown within the books, sometimes not always the best. Maybe there was a little bit like, that's a little bit in bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because you see a Luke Cage, because you see a Falcon or a War Machine, a Black Panther, all these different characters being represented, a Shang-Chi who was a master of Kung Fu, like all of these different aspects, you start to see a little more, like kids growing up might see themselves a little more.
Paddleton has nothing to do with what you're saying right now.
That's can we talk about that at the end?
I'm just saying. I just wanted to say it, throw it out there.
Yeah, let's talk about Paddleton at the end.
Okay.
Because that's a real tangent. That's a real yeah, so I think comics are good for that.
That's good.
Did I like the movie was your question.
Did I even ask a question?
You did ask the question. Yeah. You did ask the question. I liked it. How long
was it?
It's just over 2 hours, like your typical Marvel movie.
Okay.
I enjoyed seeing Nick Fury young.
Was there a special feature
at
the end?
Of course, too.
What was it?
So it's a, the main one was, so you remember at the end of Infinity War, Nick Fury sends the text.
Yes.
As he disappears, yes. He sends it to Captain Marvel.
Yes.
So
there was the White Wolf and then him. Mm-hmm. And then that happening to the, yeah.
White Wolf was in another movie.
Okay, whatever.
Black Panther.
Sure.
So at the end of Infinity War, you see that Nick Fury sends a text to Captain Marvel, and you see her make that special pager for him to say, like, if you ever need me again.
Oh, she makes it.
She makes it for him.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like a 90s two-way pager that he's using throughout the movie.
Right.
So she makes a little...
Did you ever have that pager?
No, never.
I did.
Two-way?
I don't know. What did I have? I had a pager.
I think you just had it. I don't think you had a pager that you could send messages on, like text from it.
No, just had the one where it was telling me stuff.
So right.
Like, I could see the number, or someone would use the letter, the numbers, to write letters. Out a word.
Right, yes. Yeah. So
you know what they would do? They would put a 3.
Mm-hmm. As an E.
And then an 8.
Was a B.
And then 2 7s and a 0. No, it was a 3. No, it was a 4 and a 3 and 2 7s and a 0. Guess what that spelled?
Hello.
There you go.
Hello. Can we get back to what we're talking
Can
about?
Can I just be nostalgic? You're talking about being nostalgic? I want to talk about being nostalgic.
Yes.
I had that pager where you can read off messages.
Yes.
And you know what was funny about that?
Tell me.
I actually worked in the industry of like Rogers, where you can actually hear people type saying the messages. But what we would do is we would type out the message. She's like, hey, Daph, this is Eric. Call me back when you get this message. I would actually physically have to type out the message. And that's how you would receive your written message or your text.
Right.
Now, tidbit. You want to hear something funky?
Tell me.
There was an affair going on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So there was this guy with this chick, and it was hug you, miss you, can't wait to see you. That was like the constant. So we did this like a shortcut tab where like every time we hear this chick or this guy talk to each other, it was like, oh my gosh, like I can't even be bothered. So we made a shortcut tab, like F4 shift control, and it was specifically for this.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it was dirty, dirty, dirty.
And you were just a young person.
I was maybe about 16.
Wow.
15 years old. I was just like, what is going on here? But yeah, that's, and so that it was those types of pagers where you would be able to read off the messages.
It's exciting.
But just a little tidbit. That's little how tidbit. It happened. How it wasn't works. Just computer. It was an actual person. It wasn't being virtual. It was a being. Was
artificial intelligence.
A computer didn't take my spot, daddy. I was the computer. You know what I'm saying?
Take it easy, Dusty Rhodes.
Just a little tidbit. Just a little background.
There. So getting back to your question about the post-credit scene.
Yes.
So you see her give him the pager saying, I've made a couple modifications to this. If you ever need me again, you can call me.
So and he calls her at the end of Thanos'
snap when he's disappearing. He gives her the call. So the post-credit scene, spoilers,
okay,
is the Avengers have found the two-way pager and are saying it shuts down, and they're saying, bring it back up, power it back up. Where was that being sent to? Where was that message being sent to? And so as they're all, you got Cap, Nadia, Natasha, Romanoff, and is that her name? No, Black
yeah.
Widow. Is
yeah,
it
yeah.
Natasha?
Yeah.
Okay.
Natasha.
Yes. And
the ant. The ant guy.
He's not in that scene, but it's Cap, it's Bruce Banner, and her.
Okay.
Okay, and they're like, power back up. Where is it being sent to? And then as they turn around, Captain Marvel's there. And she's like, where's Fury? So she's showing up back in.
So wait a minute. There's a time lapse thing?
Yes. Yes. It's been 24 years since she's been on Earth because she leaves at the end of this movie and goes back out into space.
So that's the special feature at the end.
Yes.
Where she
returns.
Sees Cap.
And she sees Cap and Nadia and Natasha. Yeah.
Where they're like, whoa.
And the audience all claps because it says, Captain Marvel will return in Avengers Endgame.
Hey.
And everyone's like, yeah, right?
So wait a minute. I didn't want to see this. We already said why I didn't want to see it. Should I see this in order to see Endgame?
I would say it's...
To get context? Or is it really not that necessary?
I think it's worthwhile, but it wouldn't kill you not to. It's done in... I think all the Marvel movies are good in that way. It's like watching Black Panther. If you didn't see Black Panther, would you
Black Panther was dope.
You know, it was dope. But if you didn't see it, would it have affected Avengers Infinity War?
Yes.
Okay.
For me, personally.
So this movie, what they're fighting for, one of the main things they're fighting for is the Tesseract.
The blue cube.
The blue cube.
That's way back, way when.
Yeah, so wow. So it ties in all of those different elements to it. That's why I say.
I gotta say, kudos to Marvel for trying, like, for weaving this perfect fabric, this quilt of a, you know, something I want to wrap myself in.
That's a good way to put it.
Right?
And even when you're not interested in the character, this movie ties in to an extent with your experience of Guardians of the Galaxy. Because characters from Guardians of the Galaxy that you saw are in this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the Ms. Marvel?
In the Captain Marvel, yeah.
In Captain Marvel.
Yeah. You see them for the first time. It's like, oh, that's...
But wait a minute. Yeah. Wouldn't that make them, like, age? Like
They'd be
old?
Younger. They'd be younger in this one. Because when they show up later, like a character like Ronan...
Okay, you're talking about those characters, yes. Not necessarily the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, none of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm talking about people that you see in Guardians of the Galaxy that you see like, oh, they were involved in this too. Like the quilt is being woven. It's like, ah, here's the connective tissue.
Wow, Marvel's very good about that.
They're very good about that. Very, very good.
Yeah.
So it makes everything
work. Their investment in these characters has been very deep.
Right.
Wow.
So it makes your experience, if you've watched those other ones, more meaningful. So that's why I say I'll always give a Marvel movie a chance. Because there will be something.
Do you feel the same way about their actual, like, literature?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
More so now than before because of the way they've approached the film aspect
Because I think Marvel did a good job more than DC in when they were direct competitors, to say this is the world outside your window, and you live in New York, and Spider-Man swings through New York, and Tony Stark is also.
So it brought it to life.
It brought it to life. It made you believe it, even though it's completely fabricated. It made you feel like, but the Fantastic Four are on that street. Like, that's where they are.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So the whole universe is kind of affected that way.
Okay.
And so when you watch the movies, they kind of do that too.
Does Sam Jackson look modified?
I don't know. No, he doesn't.
Not like Aquaman, where everything looked like super fake.
No, he doesn't.
I'm sure they had to make him look a little bit younger.
They made him look younger. He has hair. He doesn't have the eye patch. It explains how he gets the eye patch.
So the effects in this movie are relatively, like, they're good.
Yeah, I'd
buy it.
Yeah, and when you saw, I think the
what did you see this movie in? IMAX, 3D,
standard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it would make a difference if you saw it in those high quality effects?
Okay. No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. My score out of 10 would be a 7.5.
That's a little low, no? Average.
I think it's above average. I wouldn't, because here's the thing.
Listen, if I got that on a math test, I wouldn't be too happy with myself.
I would. I'd be really happy with 7.5. I'd be so happy. If you were
Asian, you would think that that was the ridiculous.
Okay, what's your least
unacceptable?
What's your if I was an Asian?
No, well, it's true. They would get 9.5, and they'd be like, "It's so bad." I'm like, know. "What are you talking about?"
I'm happy with a 65.
I put this on on the fridge.
Take that 9, flip it to a 6. I'm happy. I'd be good. We're slackers.
Slackers.
What's your least favorite Marvel movie? What's the one that kind of's like, meh?
And it's definitely Iron Man. It would probably be part 2 or 3. Most likely 3.
What would you give those a score of?
About a 5.
Oh, 5. So average. Okay.
Very much an average.
I would put, I like almost all of the Marvel movies.
Did you call me a racist?
I did, because you referred to...
Why would you call me racist?
Because you said something about Chinese people. But it was a joke.
I said Asians.
Okay.
And I think because they have a high expectation of themselves, and I don't think that's racist. I think that's just they want to perform at and excel at a higher level. Right. And hey, this is what I experienced in school. Like, they would get 85%, and they'd be like, it's so bad. If I came home with, 75, believe me, I'd be, throwing a party right now. You don't know what it took for me to bring this home.
And that's why we're making a podcast about a comic book character, and those people who are disappointed with 85...
They're bankers are
probably living in,
investors.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you trying to say?
We're slackers. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. We did all right. We did okay.
Yeah, I did okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Okay. I'm happy with me.
Okay, I know. Let's get back to the scoring of movies.
Why are you petting my chin?
Because you're very pretty. No. Yeah, I would give it a 7.5.
Why are you saying no?
Because you were ready to edit, and this is not the same as the computer.
So that's how you know I'm coherent and I'm aware of what's happening.
Yes, very.
So why are you giving it away?
Would you want to watch this movie?
No.
Even after the little bit that I told you, is there anything
No, I want to know what happens with Thanos. I don't care for this.
Okay.
I don't have time for that. Okay. I feel like I've invested so much time in each and every single character. This is just another person where, I get it. You're against the bad guy. You're going to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
You're on team win. Fine. I get it. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. It was cool to see.
Good for you. I'm happy for you.
For me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It was cool to see the universe expand. And I liked seeing
a little bit of backstory. It's happening too much,
though? Here's the thing. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like about it is that it allows for more original stories and takes to be told without you having to be dependent.
But do you think Marvel is doing this for the simple fact of inclusion?
No.
Of women or a character. Because really, do we need to have another superhero, really, in order to take, to finish what was started with Captain America 5-6 years ago or whatever it was? Do we really need another character? We already know you got the good guys are going to want to fight back. And the good guys eventually are going to win.
I understand your question, and I see where you're coming from.
Do you
want
to reiterate it for those that don't?
No, I think you were very clear with what you were saying. Are they just creating more characters for the sake of
telling a story?
Yeah, I think they're making, for me, I think they're creating and introducing more characters. Not creating, because these characters already exist, but it allows for the universe to, the whole property of Marvel to succeed on many levels, in the whether it's book publishing, whether it's alternate media, movies, video games, etc., etc., by introducing these to a huge market to be like, that's a cool character that I would have never known about. Because if I think of Marvel, I think of Spider-Man, Iron Man, and what you've shown me so far. Mm-hmm. So now this is getting more people to be interested in a lead female character, which is always appealing for younger girls going to watch something and seeing themselves in a character. And what they're also going to do through Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel, I think, from what I've heard, is they're going to introduce Kamala Khan,
which is really good, though.
But here's the thing,
though. I'm down for it, but here's that's a lot. This is exhausting. But I think I was talking to someone who mm-hmm. said that they looked into what order they should watch things in, and there was like a, what's that word again? What's that math word?
A graph?
Not necessarily a graph, but there was like a
algorithm.
There was you don't have to see this to understand this. So if you want, you can watch this movie followed by this movie followed by this movie, because it's oversaturated. It's almost like too much already. And like now they're gonna introduce Kamala Khan. Not that I'm not down for that, but I'm just saying that is a lot.
It's a lot, but this is the thing people have to remember too.
And it's almost like, unless you are a real Marvel fan or a comic book fan, why would I really get into this character without?
The reason being is that they're going to, I think, don't quote me, but there's gonna be no more Iron Man after this one. There's going to be no more Captain America. A lot of these characters that we've become accustomed to, they're going to be exiting stage left. So how do you continue the Avengers and making the Avengers look like the Avengers with a worthwhile crew of characters that you're invested in without introducing new characters? I'd be interested in an Avengers led by T'Challa with a Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but some things are just, you know, you don't necessarily have to end it to end it.
You don't end it. That's the point, is that they're continuing it going. By introducing new characters.
Just keep going, and then you're going to have to replace those characters, followed by having to replace those characters. So it's just an unending of not ending stuff.
That's comic books, right? It's comic
books.
Yeah,
you're right.
So as long as they're making the money they're making, they're not going to stop. It all comes. They'll only stop when money can't be made anymore. Hmm. That's it. When these things start losing money, then they're going to be like, it's done. We're done. But as long as the quality of them is good and people are going to the theaters to watch it and rewatch it, and remember too that now with this streaming service that every movie company is going to start having as, you know, the future rolls on.
But isn't that exhausting?
Here's the thing.
Like, if Disney comes out, is coming out with their own streaming service.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool and everything, but that's like, already. There's this and that and the third and this person and this character and this storyline. It's almost like, how much do you need me to keep up with?
But that's what's so cool about them is that I can watch the Captain America movies and just watch Captain America movies. They do it in such a way where those continue.
But you're almost forced in having to continue the story of this person following, like transitioning into this next
if you want to, but how can
you stop there though?
Because you're a completist and I'm a completist and we want the whole story. That's why. But how many times have you said, I can watch this television show and I stop watching it at season 5, and in my mind, that's the end, I'm done. You can do that or you could continue, right? So I think, it is, again, as long as there's content to be delivered, and now they're going to, you know, if they get the rights, the proper rights to Fantastic Four and X-Men, they're going to continue and expand in that way. So, you know, sky is the limit when it comes to how many things that they can do. So, ready to wrap it up?
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Are you going to watch Avengers Infinity or Endgame?
100%.
Yeah, it comes out next month.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
March, April.
Yeah. You're good.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited about that.
So can you come?
I'm a little disappointed, though. Like, sometimes how about we just leave the guy, let the bad guy win? That's okay.
I think human nature is hope. We want hope. We want to know that we can come back. We're resilient, right? Let's have a little hope, Daft J. Okay, let's be positive. Let's go out on a positive note. Is there any way somehow that for the next movie I can convince you to come with me outside of Avengers?
Well, what's the next movie?
Shazam. What can I do? What could convince you?
I don't know. I feel like the Shazam trailer has kind of it was kind of slapstick.
They showed another one actually yesterday that looked really good.
Well, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
So I will not pass judgment on something I don't know anything about.
Okay. I think that one will have a lot of heart. I think it'll be a fun movie to watch. And it'll be a nice break from...
Is that a DC movie?
Yeah.
You know what? No.
Please.
I've given up on DC. I'm going to put it on the record. I'm not in with DC and how they've been approaching their characters. I don't think they've been dignifying them enough. I think it's become a laughing stock. I don't think DC has invested in their characters the way Marvel has over the years. And I don't want to reward that type of behavior, that type of art form. I know. I refuse.
Side point, Idris Elba has been casted as Deadshot.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He's replacing Will Smith. Suicide
no.
Squad.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not having it.
They're having it. He's doing it.
That's too bad.
Why don't we make a bet? We'll do some type of a wager. And, or maybe we could leave it to the people who listen. And if they all say Daphne has to go watch Shazam, you gotta come. Send in your text messages, my friends who listen to the show, or emails.
And what does that mean? So what, one schmuck is going to text and say she has to go watch
How many
it?
Schmucks? How many schmucks have to text? Five?
How many followers do you have on Instagram?
I don't know.
Okay, so half of what you have on Instagram.
Oh, wow, that's like 200 people. I got to sign a petition.
There you go. No.
I'll do something else.
No.
I'll hold something hostage.
No, I think that's fair. I think that is fair.
200 people?
Yes. Yes, I think that's fair. If 200 people say Daft, Lady J has to go and watch Shazam, I'll give it a chance. Other than that, they must know. Then more of your followers know that it's a waste of time.
I'm taking you with me. Uh-uh. Come on.
No. I'm sorry. I'm almost 35 years old. There's nothing more valuable than my time.
It's a movie with your husband.
No.
All right, fine. No. Let's wrap it up. Thank you, Daft J, for telling me about Critters.
Are you just shutting me up?
No, I'm not shutting you up. I'm just saying we'll wrap up the show. Email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Tell Daft J to come to Shazam with me. Follow us on Instagram. Toronto Comic Con is coming up. Make sure you go check out that. Hopefully this goes up before Toronto Comic Con occurs. And me and Daft J will be back with more hijinks and jokes and laughter.
Hot topics.
Hot topics and hijinks. That's a good episode name. Hot topics and hijinks. And watch Afterlife if you enjoy hearing people.
Oh, it's so much fun. It may not be for everyone, but mm-hmm. but it definitely, if you have a heart, you'll appreciate it. That was so much fun.
Definitely.
It was funny.
Thank you for not going to watch a movie with me, but wanting to podcast about it.
You know what? And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to support.
You're the best.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Eric Anthony.
This is Lady J.
Signing off.
Adios.